This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone looks tired. I think everyone feels tired, right? 7 days. Right? This is the first week of Ramadan done. 3 weeks to go. And as I said, you can see in the masjid already, the crowd has thinned out. This is when the enthusiasm wears off. But remember, it's just three weeks between us and Jannah. Three weeks between us and all our sins forgiven. To attain the highest levels of Jannah. 3 weeks before the doors of Jannah are closed once again. We only have 3 weeks. So subhanAllah, just push yourself. I speak to myself first. We are all tired. We're definitely tired. But let's push ourselves to make it the most this we can of this Ramadan. And like we said, the work for Laylatul Qadr begins now. We're not going to get it by luck. So if we make the efforts now, may Allah make it easy for us in the end of the Ramadan to get Laylatul Qadr. Ameen. Some questions that came through, alhamdulillah, a lot of people, after these lectures are recorded and they go out on the WhatsApp line and on email as well, and people ask questions on the lectures. So one of the questions that was asked was regards to fidya. We mentioned yesterday that the sisters who breastfeed, who are pregnant, they make up the day and they don't pay a fidya. Now, you'd find in the MJC sent a notice at the beginning of the month about fidya for breastfeeding women and for pregnant women. Now, why are we having difference of opinion? Okay, so long story. The issue of a lady breastfeeding, and if she's or a pregnant woman, the scholars have three different opinions. One of it says that she should only make up the day that she missed. And this is the strongest and the most, the majority of the scholars say she is like the person who is ill, weak, unable to fast, so she just makes the day up. There's a second opinion, and it's a Shafi opinion, and perhaps this is what the MJC is saying, that you make up the day and you pay a fidya. Why? Why do you think that the Shafi madhab would say you have to fill the day in, pay the day because you missed it, and you pay a fidya? Why do you think so? Why this double penalty? Hey? Well, safer, well, besides that. The argument, this is the argument, listen to this. The argument is that it's not because of you being unable to fast, it's because of the baby. You, in reality, don't have the option not to fast, but because you fear for the baby, that you actually have to pay a penalty as well. Look, fidya is 10 rand. So alhamdulillah, there's no harm in paying that extra 10 rand. There's a very, very, very small minority view. This goes back to some sahaba that said a lady doesn't even have to make up the day. She just pays a fidya. Now I know many of the sisters say, alhamdulillah, I like to just play the fidya. But understand that is not that is the weakest of the three opinions. The majority says only pay, make up the day. There's a Shafi opinion that says make up the day and pay a fidya, and a very, very weak view that says that you should just pay a fidya. Allah alam. And you know, as I said, these amongst the scholars, alhamdulillah. The second question was regards to if a lady receives an internal or you go for an examination. Now, if you were to put your finger in your nose or in your ear, would this break your fast? No. So similarly, inshallah, going to the dentist or something like that, just so long as there's, you know, an internal, this will not break your fast. So no worry about that. Then on to Surah Al-Kahf, the last question. The person asked, on the one night you said that the youth, they ran away from their community. Avoid fitna. Then yesterday you said that it is better to stay with the community and persevere under their fitna. So how do we reconcile this and when do we leave? Okay, so there's a hadith in Bukhari where the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that a time will come when the fitna and tribulation will be so much that the best wealth a man will have, the best he could do, is to take his sheep and go into the mountains and live there alone. That's the best he could do. Nothing better than that. And then there's another hadith that says in Tirmidhi that it is better for the person, it's best for the person to remain with the people and persevere through their annoyance, go through their hardship, but he's with them, he mixes with them, and he perseveres. This is better than living like a hermit. So how do we reconcile these two things? So the scholars, and this is the majority, and this is what, I mean, the unanimous, if you look at the example of the prophets, the Anbiya, none of them lived like hermits. None of the Sahaba packed up their stuff and lived in the desert and said, we're going to stay away from you people of fitna, we're just going to make ibadah. That is not the way Allah want us to live. We live in society and we mix with the community, and we fight fitna as much as we can. We avoid it. It doesn't mean that I live in a community, now I need to be in the, you know, in the worst of places. So you live in the society, you know there are certain areas where there's no good. where there's only fitna, you don't go to those places. You know that there are people, they will only distract you from doing good, that they will test your iman, you avoid those people. But you live within the community. Most people in most places, most jobs, there's good and bad to it. So you interact with, and you encourage the good, and you forbid the evil. That's how it should be. But if your iman and your deen and your life comes under persecution, you can't practice your Islam freely, you might be killed for being a Muslim publicly. In this case, you need to flee. You need to make hijrah. Like the Prophet, peace be upon him, he made hijrah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made hijrah once his community wanted to assassinate him. Then he left to Medina. So this is how we balance. And as we said, we live in a community with good and bad. Avoid fitna as much as you can. Don't put yourself in the fitna. But we don't also shun the rest of the world. We don't say, okay, that Buddha, sometimes he makes jokes I don't like. That sister doesn't dress correctly, so I'm not going to block all of them. I don't want to see any of them. This is not the way of a Muslim. We encourage good and forbid evil. And we try to improve our society. That's how we balance this. Back to our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us yesterday that these young men, they left their community, and they ran into the cave one evening. And they stayed there. Allah had not given us the number. He just says they were a fitya, a group of youth. They were a group, more than three. And they stayed in the cave, and they had a dog with them. And they came to the cave, and all they did was they made dua, oh Allah, make it easy for us, guide us. So Allah said, I covered their ears, and they fell asleep. And Allah mentioned how the cave was open and the sun rose from the right side on the east, and it set on the left in the west. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to appear awake. That if you came into the cave, they would be sleeping, but they looked like they were awake. They were moving, maybe even walking, Allah alam. And you would have been shocked. Allah says you would have ran away in terror. They looked very scary. So the cave became, no one went into that cave. And in fact, perhaps even people covered it up and said, look, there's some strange things in that cave. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to sleep like this. Now how long did they sleep? Allah says, now we continue this evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. And thus Allah says, we, ba'athna usually means to resurrect. Usually in the Quran Allah says, ba'atha is the resurrection. So Allah says, and thus we awoken them, meaning, but actually, we resurrected them. That's how Allah usually uses the word. لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. Now again, just pause for a second before you go through. MashaAllah, sisters have their notes open, the brothers, alhamdulillah. Right, they listen to the lecture, they don't, alhamdulillah. These young men are like, these are awliya of Allah, yes? Allah is causing a miracle to come from them, they are awliya, right? And now again, what do we imagine awliya when they get together, seven walis of Allah, what are they going to discuss? Look at what these young men discuss. So they wake up and they said, لِيَتَسَاءُلُوا. They asked amongst themselves, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمًا. So one of them said, oh man, how long do you think we were sleeping? How long were we here? So some said, a day or part of a day, maybe a few hours. We came in here, it was like Isha time, whatever. Now it's like Asr time. So we spent a few hours, right? And again, we know from the story they'll spend many centuries in the cave. But the ulama mentioned this is how Qiyamah is going to be. When we look back at our life, think of your high school. It seems like it was only a few hours. If you add up all your memories, how short life is, time becomes sort of irrelevant. That they felt like this was only a few hours we stayed in the cave. But now they got into a debate. They're arguing, and then قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. So one of them said, okay, Allah knows best. We don't have a watch, just keep quiet. We need to talk about something much more serious than sleeping. Way more serious. What about dhikr or ibadah? No. فَبَعَثُوا بِأَحَدَكْ بِوَرِكِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Let one of you take one of these coins and get some food, man. We hungry, right? A bunch of guys in a cave, after sleeping, now they're hungry. And that's what they're thinking about. Right? They're not talking about ibadah and talking about dhikrullah. They're thinking, look, we're hungry, we need to eat now. Right? What are we going to do? We're in this cave, there's nothing to eat. So one of you take one of these coins. They said, look, one of you take the coin and go to the city, فَلْيَنْذُرْ and look, أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا, and look for clean food. Now obviously we know one of the, alhamdulillah, like in Cape Town for example, after not making shirk. The second most important thing is you eat halal food, right? That's the second pillar of Islam, that you eat halal food. But subhanAllah, it is one of the simat, one of the outward expressions of our deen, that wherever you go in the world, we ask, is it halal? Is this halal? Right? That is wherever you go on earth, right? Muslims are always looking for that halal food, and this is good. And Allah mentions this here. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, our community is on goodness, is that we maintain that we will not eat at places that are not halal. And I said, there's no such concept as halal friendly. There's only halal and halal unfriendly, nothing else, no in between. So we shouldn't compromise that which we have. So these young men, again, all they knew is worship Allah, and they said, let's eat good food. So they said, one of you take this coin and go and look for pure food, فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْكٍ, and bring some of it back to us. مِنْهُ وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ, and be, this is the middle word of the Quran. There is that middle word of the Quran, وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. That's the center word of the Quran. And let him be gentle or discreet. Meaning, be secretive. Don't let anyone know who you are. وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا, and let no one discover you. Right, so go secretly with this coin. Why? إِنَّهُمْ إِن يَذْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. Because if anyone captures you, they're going to arrest you, they're going to stone you, or even worse, they're going to force you back into your old religion, and then you will never ever be successful. And here we can therefore, now it's very clear why they were running away. They were being persecuted because of the religion. So Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, and because of this, they were discovered. Now, how do we link the two? So basically what happened was, the seven guys, they together, they said, look, we're hungry, we need to have some, you know, let's talk about the mas'ala of chicken, this is the thing we need, right, the most important thing. They got their money together, you go and find someone. So they selected one of them, you go into town, and you bring the food. So now he goes, he doesn't know he was sleeping for 300 years. What's he dressed like? He's like, imagine someone 300 years from the past coming here, dressed like Shakespeare, you know? And he's got money, like, back in the day. I remember when I was younger, you had this Jan van Riebeek money, right? So he comes with us, and he obviously the town looks different, and he looks different, and he speaks different, so he comes to the McDonald's, it's like, good day, O Sir, here is this shilling, could I have some chicken, right? And obviously the guy is like, is this Halloween or something? Why are you dressed up? And eventually the community, you know, he's trying to be discreet, but obviously he's making a scene. So the whole community surrounded him. And he obviously had to say, look, and when they saw the coin, so Allah says, because of this, meaning the coin that he had. Now the coin is stamped usually with the emperor of the time. When they saw the coin that he had, they said, this coin belonged to Decius, the emperor that lived 300 years ago. How did you get it? So then he obviously had to tell them, look, but this is where I come from. That's where I used to live. And all the people in the community had embraced Christianity. So then they went to the cave, right? لِيَعْلَمُوا. So then Allah says, I did this miracle, لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. So Allah says, we caused the city's people to discover them, so that the city's people may know that the promise of Allah is true, and that the day and that the hour is truthful. And it's a beautiful, yeah, this is a miracle of the Quran. This city, Ephesus, after 300 years, they became Christian. And during the time when these young people woke up, there was a sect. There were different groups of Christians. One group were called the Sadducees, right? So their name were called the Sadducees. And they came up with the idea, so they were Christian, but they said, we don't believe in Qiyamah. It's not possible for Allah to resurrect you after, you know, 100 years, 200 years. So while they were having these debates, here this young man comes out, and he has come sort of back to life after 300 years. And if you look at the biblical or the Christian scholars, they will say these young men, they were an evidence which stopped this heresy of the Sadducees. The Sadducees could no longer defend themselves. And Allah, look at the ayah, Allah says, so that they would know for sure. Not the people of the cave, so that the people of the city would know, la rayba fiha, that there is no doubt in the hour. So then they went back to the cave, they took this young man, they went back to see the rest of them, the rest of the gang in the cave, and within a few hours, they fell asleep and they died. All of them died. So now there's a bunch of, you know, seven, or a group of awliya that have just died, these young men, their dog has died. إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ. So now the community is disputing, what should we do with him? What should we do? فَقَالُوا بَنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا. One of them, one group said, let's build a structure over their graves. We bury them and we build on this cave a structure. رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. Allah knows best about them. قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَالَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ. The group that defeated, meaning the group that won the debate, they said, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. We will build on their graves a masjid. Now this again opens a whole new debate about building. Basically they said, let's build a kramat on them. That's basically what they said. Now this opens a whole new door of controversy. Many scholars have used this and said, this is permissible to build on a grave. And another group have said, you see, Allah says they were arguing and debating, and the one that overpowered, they said, build a qabr, a masjid on their qabr. We shouldn't debate about this. It's very clear hadith. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, both in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet, you know, his wives were talking, right? So a few of his wives, before they married the Prophet, peace be upon him, they migrated to Abyssinia. And there they saw these massive cathedrals. So they're telling the Prophet, you know, in Abyssinia we saw these huge churches, it looked so amazing. So the Prophet said that those people are of the worst people. Why? Because when a pious man died amongst them, they would build a place of worship on his grave. And they would put images in that masjid. And they are the worst of people in the sight of Allah. So, very clear from our Sharia, we don't build masjids on graves. This is what the people of the cave, what the city did was wrong. They shouldn't have built on those graves, and we don't worship, obviously, our awliya. Also, just logically, to build a massive shrine, a mausoleum, on some imam or sheikh doesn't benefit the man. Rather, if you took that money and opened an orphanage in his honor, opened a school, not for his name, but with a niyat that goes to him, this will be far more respectful and rewarding to him. But, another side of the story, what do? Alhamdulillah, we are blessed with pious people that have died, and we have shrines here in Cape Town. What do? We don't break these things down. We don't say, this is blasphemy, and we destroy them. No, we leave them. Alhamdulillah. In fact, you know, up the road is the kramat of Tuan Guru Rahimullah. We remember their contribution, and we respect them, and we ziyara their graves to make dua for them, not to them, to remember the legacy that they left behind. But we never ever worship them. And we never venerate them to a level that is not allowed. We don't build monuments to them, statues or pictures, and build things on their graves. What was done? Alhamdulillah, it was done. And we remember and honor them through our actions and following their sunnah. So this is with regards to the people of the cave. Allah will continue this story, inshallah, and we'll continue tomorrow. Any questions? Any questions? No, everyone wants to go home. Right, they're tired. Well, alhamdulillah. Right, me too. I also need to get home. Now, yesterday's question was kind of you have to think about this. Which direction was the dog's legs facing in the cave, his front legs? Obviously, the ayah says, the cave was facing, or the cave, if you could work it out, was facing the north, and his legs were pointed basically outside the door, and therefore his paws were pointing to the north. The second question, tonight's question, okay, so how long, if you think about, what did they say? How long were the seven youths asleep in the cave? Were they asleep for 1.5 days, 1.5 weeks, 1.5 years, or none of the above? It's a trick question, of course. I didn't select the question, Ubaid selected the question. So, inshallah, you can answer that. And we will have our prize giving at the end of the week. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.